As you know, high unemployment and a $343 billion deficit, as well as a slow recovery of the economy. These were some of the key points of the Liberals' fiscal snapshot that was released yesterday by Finance Minister Bill Morneau. Tim Powers is a political commentator and managing director of Abacus Data. He joins me live through a tie line that was, we put this in place so you could guest host open line. Good morning, Tim.
I tell you, Jerry Lynn, technology is amazing. It almost sounds like I'm sitting there on Kenmount Road with you, which, you know, to go back to my open line rant, I'd like to do. So, Dwight, open it up, will
open
you, please?
It up. Anyway. Really? Really? You think it should be open right across the country?
Well, no. You can just let us, people who are the expats in Ontario, in. Come on, just pretend you're like a government patron is your favoritism. You know, I've never said anything bad about the premier. Teasing, of course, Jerry Lynn.
They must
guide and be governed by health protocols.
Tim, yesterday we got some bleak news, sobering, if you will. What stood out to you when it comes to this fiscal snapshot?
Well, I have to tell you, my favorite line was from Mark Critch. He said the deficit was so large it could be seen from the naked eye from space by the naked eye. Yeah. And I think that sort of captures it. I mean, this is a two huge numbers. The deficit of $343 billion, 10 times what it was expected to be. And, of course, that's because of the pandemic, not any set of poor political decisions, to be fair to the government, and the debt at $1 trillion, projected to be $1.2 trillion. These are astronomical numbers and just really drives home the economic impact of the pandemic. And while now Canadians are rightly getting assistance packages, whether it be CEWS or CERB or any of the other assistance packages that are there, at some point they're going to stop. At some point, program spending is going to have to change. At some point, the government of Canada is going to have to find a way to manage the services it provides and try and recoup revenue that it has lost in spending to help Canadians through all of this now.
How worried should we be about the size of this debt?
Well, look, there's a whole the debates change. When the current prime minister was elected in 2015, you remember the needle was starting to move. For years and years and years, the whole sort of political orthodoxy was you got to have surpluses, you shouldn't run deficits, you got to keep your debt under control. Now that's changed a little bit. However, there's a big difference, as we well know, Jerry Lynn, between a $34 billion deficit and a $343 billion deficit. I think what the government is saying now, which again, and the opposition really isn't challenging them on this. Look, Canadians right now, you shouldn't be too worried. The government is there. The opposition parties are saying they would also be there in this difficult set of circumstances. But what does it look like a year and a half from now when hopefully there's a vaccine and we're past the pandemic? You have covered it well on VOCM. So we've heard all measure of things the government should be investing in. Long-term care, child care, pharma care, addressing systemic racism, all important things. Government can't afford to do all those things, so they're going to have to make choices. And also, what does it mean, again, for rates of taxation? Bill Morneau would not answer in a qualified manner yesterday if tax increases were on the horizon. They're obviously not going to happen right now, per se.
No, but they've lost a lot of revenue as a result of the pandemic, tax revenue.
No good finance minister, regardless of political stripe worth his weight, would say, yes, I'm going to raise taxes right now. But I think it's fair to assume, and, you know, again, in a year, 18 months from now, all of the spending that we're seeing is going to have stopped. Programs are going to be reassessed, and we're probably going to end up paying more taxes in different ways to pay for what has happened now. And it's not going to have, you know, this recovery and government policies to address it are not going to be sort of remedied in 1 year of pain. It's going to have to be a gradual process to get back to a better state of fiscal reckoning for the country.
And we knew that it was going to be hundreds of billions of dollars, but it's still larger than anyone projected. What's the reaction you're seeing from opposition members?
Well, it's really interesting, right? So nobody's really going after the government for the pandemic spending, which, again, makes sense. I think any government would have been in this spot. You remember when the Harper government had to spend money, I think they spent around $50 billion. So, again, not nearly as much as the $200-plus billion the government's currently spent, but they had to spend that in 08, 09. What the opposition is saying, look, liberals, you should have spent money beforehand, didn't manage to deficits beforehand that now make it more difficult to come out of this pandemic. What the opposition want, two different streams. The conservatives are saying, give us a plan. All right, you told us how bleak it was yesterday, so what is the plan? So you and I just talked about what a plan could look like. There is no plan yet. The government says it's too early to plan. The NDP, on the other hand, are saying, all right, you got to tax the uber wealthy, you've got to move in to create a guaranteed income benefit, maybe change the CERB to that. So that's kind of where the stream of debate is going. Interesting on the CERB, Jerry Lynn. Well, nobody has officially said it will end in August. Is there another month in there? The other thing that has been discovered out of this out of the financial snapshot, as the government's called it, is, hey, there's more money that's just been put in for the Canada Emergency Wage Subsidy. So is this going to be the transition program? Because it hasn't had the same take-up the government would have thought. From CERB back into full-time work? Will people be encouraged to get on that program and employers encouraged to rehire people and put them on that program? Because that program currently is slated to end in August, but they put more money or projected there would be more money spent on it yesterday, which suggests it will go in longer into the fall.
When can we expect to see the economy recover? Because the projections, I know I'm not asking you any serious
Thanks.
Questions.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, Jerry, tomorrow.
I'm going to hold you to this
tomorrow.
Answer as well. But they did say it was going to be slower than they had hoped.
Yeah. Well, look, they're what they're all worried about, and it's not just the Canadian government or the Trudeau government, is their second wave, right? Imagine if we had to spend this amount of money in wave two. Wow. I mean, that then we're in really arguably pretty financial.
I don't think the money would be there for that, you know?
Well, it seems that, you know, the government, I have to laugh at the government's silver linings yesterday. Hey, look, it's easy to borrow money right now, so we're borrowing lots of it. We have a low interest rate. Great, but you still got to pay back that money. Their other line was, and the Prime Minister, I get his point in this, but it's sort of funny. Look, oh, we borrowed the money and we spent the money so you didn't have to. Yes, but we're going to have to pay for this at a certain point. But anyway, back to your question, the government is still trying to figure out if there's a second wave coming. And if there is, that will influence how they spend. They seem to me now saying that maybe in the early fall, so late September, October, they might be able to give us a better sense of when we can move into the true recovery stage, and that will dictate how long the recovery will last. There's some economists, Jerry Lynn, that say next year we should see 5.5% growth. Now, before you think that's wonderful, be mindful that this year we've seen and are projected to see a 6.8% drop in Canadian growth, which is a number not seen since the Great Depression.
One step forward, two steps back, that kind of thing. We kind of saw the finance minister, I won't say he defended the spending, but he did say that this is something that the Liberals chose to do to help Canadians through the pandemic. Would the cost of doing nothing have been even worse?
That's a debatable one that thankfully we don't have to know the answer to. Probably, I think you have to be fair to them on that. But again, I think they're co-opting that as this great, generous activity they took. They were forced to take it. Yes, I think they're getting decent marks for generally getting the spending and the investments they made right. But the question is, did the programs come out fast enough? That's an area where there's one criticism. And are they too generous? Because you've had people on the morning show and elsewhere who say, for example, are people getting CERB who shouldn't be getting CERB? Are they staying on CERB too long? I mean, I guess the staggering number that we haven't yet talked about, Jerry Lynn, that's come out, that there are 5.5 million Canadians who aren't working, who are on CERB. That has been described by some as one-third of Canada's workforce. How do you get them off that program and back to work, and how many of them will actually have jobs to go back to? Because that's the other thing we don't know. What's the real cost of this going to be? We've heard stories of restaurants and other businesses that aren't going to reopen. Well, what else isn't going to reopen? And where are these people? Where are we going? Where are these people going to go to get assistance or get jobs? I mean, these things still aren't known, to the best of my knowledge.
How are we going to be able to afford to pay for all the programs?
Listen, I think you're going to be great hosting the morning show from the seniors' home at 84. You've got a great voice. You're youthful. You'll be perfect. It's back to the point we talked about before. You can only pay for programs. Well, you can borrow to pay for programs, as the government is doing, and you can, you know, issue bonds, and hopefully people will buy them, and that'll help address it. Or you can tax people, or you can cut services. There's stories floating around here again, which will be of interest to people in Newfoundland and Labrador, given our connection to the military, that, you know, when the government gets back into cutting expenses mode, guess who's going to be first on the chopping block again? Potentially the military. The military's already putting that out in hopes that it's a preemptive move. So you cut services to save money, you raise taxes to get money, and you borrow to invest in programs. So those are three tranches where the government could go when it gets to properly addressing the spending from all of this crisis.
Tim Powers, political commentator and managing director of Abacus Data. Your insights, your commentary, always welcome.